With a papal visit to Angola and Cameroon planned for next spring and a synod on Africa on the agenda for next October, the church on the African continent will be very much under the spotlight over the coming months. The focus of this second synod of bishops for that continent will be the church in Africa in the service of reconciliation, justice and peace, due to take place from October 4th to 25th, 2009. The announcement of the forthcoming papal visit came at the close of the last Synod of Bishops on the Word of God in the life and mission of the Church, and it will mark a historic event, taking Pope Benedict for the first time to the vibrant churches of Central and Southern Africa.
It's a wonderful moment for Africa. We've been waiting for it. And I know the Church in Africa will welcome him and will be delighted that he's coming there.
Father Kieran O'Reilly is Superior General of the Society of African Missions, which has been dedicated to working with churches on the continent since its foundation in 1856.
Yes, I must say that we're all very happy, and we were delighted to hear the announcement during the homily at the final Mass for the closure of the Synod, when the Holy Father announced that he will be going to the Cameroons, and also going to Angola, to Cameroon, to present the initial documents for the Synod, and to go to Angola to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the coming of Christianity there. It's very important for Africa at this time.
Let's just look a little bit at these two countries he's visiting. As you mentioned, first of all, Angola in sub-Saharan Africa, marking 500 years since the evangelization of the country.
Yeah, it's a very significant moment. As you know, the Portuguese were the first to go down along West Africa before the great, shall we call it, missionary advance of the middle of the 19th century. So they were the ones who established the forts down along the coast and brought Christianity. Initially, of course, it was probably kind of a garrison presence, but in time they began to penetrate further into the inland, but they were associated with the trading and that. So Christianity is down that coast, down into that part of Africa for that length of time. And it's a great moment of reflection, really, to think what has Christianity meant and meant to Africa? What does it mean now? Christianity in Africa is the biggest growth area, if you like, for Christianity in the world. And it will grow even greater over the next 40, 50 years. So it is a real moment of reflection, because the anniversaries will be coming up over and over again in different parts of Africa. But this is a significant one, and the fact that the Holy Father is going down to Angola at this time will mean that it's a time for the church throughout sub-Saharan Africa to look again, to reevaluate what Christianity has meant and what it can mean for the coming part of this century and further.
It's a country coming out of many, many years of civil war, isn't it? A country rebuilding slowly after the devastation of the war there.
Yes, and thankfully things have moved along. Recently elections were held, so the president was re-elected. So all of this brings stability. One of the great problems for many countries in sub-Saharan Africa is either the civil war or the destabilization through regional conflicts. Even these days we hear again of the disturbing news from the Congo, from the east, the Great Lakes area. So all of these are kind of worrying situations, and there are a number of other countries in Africa where at this moment, like Somalia, in the whole area of Darfur, where there are serious disturbances, civil and military disturbances that are causing great pain and suffering, especially for women and children. Other countries along West Africa, like Liberia and Sierra Leone, have emerged from their civil wars, from their regional wars, and are thankfully beginning to rebuild. But it's a terrible cost on the people, on society, on the whole culture of life and fabric of life in these countries. So we can only hope and pray that more of the African countries will emerge from this and be able to build true countries of justice and peace.
The upcoming Synod on Africa will reflect on the Church's mission in promoting reconciliation, justice and peace. Would you say that this is perhaps the most important area of the Church's mission today?
It is. I mean, in proclaiming the gospel, in proclaiming who Jesus Christ is, then ultimately we are proclaiming the whole issue of a relationship. And relationship is ultimately following on his relationship with the Father through the Spirit, is our relationship with one another. As human beings living on the same earth in the same part of the world, let us say Africa, they are brothers and sisters committed to peace and justice and harmony. Now, for me, that is the message, the core message of what Jesus Christ has brought. So the leaders of our church in Africa are the ones then who are charged with the task of seeing how that can be integrated fully into the life and into the way of being in Africa. And it's a tremendous challenge because Africa has grown enormously population-wise in the last 20 years. Some countries have doubled their population and are liable to continue to increase enormously. So there are great human challenges, and yet if there isn't an attempt to build a culture of peace and stability and development, we're really facing quite difficult situations in many countries. And I think the church has a very important role because, as I said, we in a country like Angola celebrating 500 years of presence, in many other countries the church has been present for 150, nearly 200 years, right along West Africa, like our own society, the African missions. So our presence there has been significant. The bishops themselves are now almost all indigenous bishops. So they are the ones charged with the task in their own countries of speaking to their own brothers and sisters in their own languages, in their own cultures, about the reality of communicating the message of the gospel. The heart of the gospel being to establish the right relationships among ourselves so that in so doing we create those right relationships with our God and with the world, the created world in which we live in.
Many of the church leaders, priests, missionaries, lay people have been very powerful witnesses, haven't they? Many of them even giving their lives in this effort.
It is a fact that throughout Africa, in different parts, many have been courageous, even as you say, to the extent that they have given their lives. Many bishops have been willing to risk their lives, to risk everything in order to speak up for the poorest in their society. They have courageously taken on leaders who could threaten them, and yet they never cowed, they never feared or ran away. So it's a great testimony to the courage of many of our bishops, some of whom have paid with their lives, or priests, sisters, lay members, who courageously stayed with people, especially during times of war or marauding armies or travelling around like that. And so they have been, as in a case like, if I may give an example, like Liberia, where Archbishop Michael Francis was a real beacon of hope for the church and for the entire Liberian nation. He spoke out courageously, irrespective of who was in power, against injustice, against discrimination, against ethnic hatred. He really tried and showed what it was to witness to the gospel.
You have your own SMA fathers down in Angola, don't you? Tell us a little bit about their work there today.
Well, we are recently there, in fact. We have only gone to Angola in the last 10 years. It is a presence of our Italian province that are down there, and we have one member also from a French province. And they are largely in the urban ministry in Luanda. And there, like in other parts of Africa, the urban ministry is perhaps the most demanding, because the mass migration into the great urban centres is a phenomenon that is witnessed in all parts of the two-thirds world, but especially in Africa, where, as you know, a large number of young people especially migrate into the city in the hope of a better life, in the hope of education, work. And one of the great challenges that I have seen travelling in these big cities like Lagos or Kinshasa or along the west coast is the amount of young people, some of them well qualified, some of them from primary or secondary schools, maybe in university, but without any work and no real hope of it, that there is a kind of an imbalance in the economic development that has very serious consequences. And really, ministering in the great urban areas is following through very much on the encyclical of Pope John Paul II on Redemptoris Missio. These are the great areas of evangelization now, and it is an enormous challenge for the church, for missionaries, men and women, to try and address the huge social problems that are emerging in places where 20 years ago there was no cities, and they're there now. You know.
So you're dealing with issues above all like healthcare, with the AIDS pandemic, perhaps one of the most serious challenges, I imagine.
As always, the church has been to the fore in major areas of health and education. And as you rightly say, one of the areas that has come to the fore in the last 10 to 15 years is the whole area of the AIDS and the consequences, the social consequences, how the fabric of society gets torn asunder, how when the parents die, the grandparents are sometimes left with children that they can hardly be able to manage, to feed, how youngsters are in fact the senior in a family of 14, 15 years of age, may have to take care of his cousins. So the church is at the forefront of these different challenges to the social fabric, because it's very serious, really. If you have no one to pass on the culture, if you have no one to pass on the fabric or how to make the fabric of a culture, you're really sowing the seeds for social disintegration. And it's a real frightening prospect that if you, in the great urban areas, you have mass amount of youngsters who are really not being, if you like, brought into a wider, broader, positive cultural way of doing things, you're creating a very dangerous system into the future of breakdown and disintegration. And for me, one of the main challenges for the church remains in that pastoral frontier, if you like, of trying to cope with that reality of the collapse of culture.
It's a huge challenge. It's an incredibly difficult situation. We tend to hear so much about the problems, and yet Africa remains the continent of hope, doesn't it? How do you keep this hope alive faced with these incredibly difficult problems?
Well, the hope stays alive, really, because of the African people themselves. I mean, they are wonderful. In the face of enormous odds, when things are going against them, they have courage, they have capacity to be tenacious, they keep going, they always see hope for their children, for their grandchildren. Despair is something that I have found very little in Africa. There is always a sense of joy and a thanks to God for the little they have even. I suppose we come from a different kind of world where we want so much more, we're never satisfied. But there you see the human spirit accomplish great things with very little and achieve wonderful things for the sake of others, for their family, for their friends. It really is hope-filled, even though you would think there's no reason to have hope. But the people are the reason that why we have hope ourselves.
And my thanks there to Father Kieran O'Reilly, Superior General of the Society of African Missions.